Jackson. I'm going to repeat that. 37 and a quarter.
Hurry for the lead. Hey, everyone. Welcome to an all-new Doves Talk presented by Wendy's. Raise a glass of Wendy's new bourbon bacon cheeseburger smothered in a new bourbon bacon sauce. This is a bourbon masterpiece that you eat at participating U.S. Wendy's bourbon bacon masterpiece. I love it. I'm Grant Liffman. Kendra Andrews with me as always. And we're going to do a fun project today, an exercise, if you will. And in this one, Kendra and myself separately put together some stats, maybe some glaring or maybe under the radar stats about the Warriors team this last year and what they need to improve on for next season. And then perhaps some free agents that fit into what the Warriors are able to do to potentially, you know, make it better. Now, I don't think I have to do this for every time, but just since we're still new at this free agency thing, let me, Kendra, one more time, go over the resources the Warriors have.
Thank you.
It's not for you. It's for all our friends out there who are just always being like, you know what? Why don't they just go get DeMar DeRozan? All right. They have the taxpayer mid-level exception. That is their big breadwinner of resources. That is just under $6 million. They can give that to one guy, or they can divvy it up. They can give $4 million of that and then $2 million of it, and they can divvy it up. But that's one resource, and then the rest are veteran minimums. That is it. They don't have other options to take somebody from the outside otherwise through trade, draft, those things. We're talking free agency here. Okay. So now that I got that out of the way, I digress. Kendra, I was thinking that I put the onus on you to start us off.
Of course, that's so you making me go first always. One big glaring stat that doesn't even need a number attached to it to see that this is an issue is the attention that Steph draws and the inability for people on the Warriors to take advantage of that space. What I mean by that is there is, with the spacing percentile, there he has a 5% spacing percentile, which means he has no space to operate stuff. We saw that through box and one defenses, triple teams, double teams, leaving so many other Warriors, particularly on the perimeter, wide open, and they were unable to knock down a lot of those shots. What does that mean for the needs? We've talked about it before when just talking about free agencies, and that's just more shooters. The Warriors, they just need more. When Klay Thompson comes back, whenever that is, that will help. But again, as we've again said so many times, we don't know what version of Klay Thompson will be coming back. We don't know how long it's going to take for him to be the Klay Thompson he was before he was injured in the finals in 2019. So adding more shooters would be good. We've talked a lot about different guys that they could bring in. And one guy who we haven't actually talked about before is Bobby Portis on the Milwaukee Bucks. And he has a player option waiting for him at the end of this season. It's about $3.8 million. So you're talking about how much money the Warriors have. If Portis decides to leave the Bucks, it might be because he wants more money. And so if that's the case and he's looking for a big pay raise, then maybe it won't be an option. But when you look at his numbers, he shot 50% from three on 150 attempts. The only other two players to have that mark on those number of shot attempts are Marcus Morris and Joe Harris. So when you're looking at his specialty and his skill set, it is something that the Warriors could use because, as we said so many times, they need more shooting.
Yeah, no, I mean, he would be a fantastic name. I think the reason I've avoided his name is just, I just assume he's going to make too much money, you know, and that's what it comes down to. And it's kind of hard to know sometimes what someone will do. Bobby Portis is perfect for what the Warriors need. A guy who can scrap it up a little bit, who's tough. He's a stretch 4/5, I guess, probably with the Warriors, probably can make him 5. But the guy is just lethal from deep. He's exactly what the Warriors need. Unfortunately, him and to a lesser degree, someone like a Kelly Olynyk, there's a good chance they'll make more money than the Warriors can afford to give. And you'd have to think the Bucks are going to try everything in their power to bring him back. But you're right. And in terms of spacing, it's funny. The number I got, this one of the statistics I took is something based on that. It's just a little, just, you know, just finding a different nugget within that. And that is the Warriors finished 20th in the NBA in effective field goal percentage when they are wide open. Wide open. So obviously Steph Curry is not the one taking most of these shots, because very, very rarely is he wide open. The times he's wide open, sometimes in transition, more importantly, it's probably off offensive rebounds that someone comes and kicks it back out to him and he's wide open in that way, you know, a broken play. And that's how Steph gets open. But otherwise, as you mentioned, spacing, what is happening is the gravity pulled towards Steph is leaving people wide open. And the Warriors 20th in the NBA in effective field goal percentage when wide open. So who are the players that you can put out there? So you look at players that are actually very good. And what does wide open mean? In the NBA, statistically, what that means is there is a defender or opponent 6 feet or more away from you. From 6 feet to 10 feet, you have that much of a gap between you and the defender when you're taking your shot. So in this case, who are players that shoot very well in wide open spaces? Now, Kendra, the one thing that people go is like, well, shouldn't everyone shoot really well wide open? Isn't that kind of the point? Well, no. There are a lot of players that think too much. It just, it doesn't feel natural. They hesitate. It's hard to just know when to shoot. Are you supposed to step up from the 3-point line? What are you supposed to do? Those are the questions that a lot of people have when they have a wide open shot. In theory, yes, you're going to shoot better when you're wide open, but it's not perfect for everybody. So who are players that this works for? Now, here are four names that are free agents that we've actually mentioned most of them before, but are great wide open, 6 feet or more open. Danny Green is one of them. He just got hurt, unfortunately, in the playoffs. And I know there's so much, there's such a weird vibe around him with the Warriors fans because of the past and some injuries that have happened, especially to Klay Thompson, and just him being part of teams that they've always happened to be playing in the playoffs. And I know many of us have watched him in the playoffs and been like, this guy can't make any shots, and then one game he'll just be elite and he'll just won't miss. Point is that if you look at effective field goal percentage, Danny Green, you put him in the corner of the floor, and that's where the Warriors need help. You put him in the corners because the gravity, spacing, Steph Curry gives the ball to Draymond Green, he passes it to a corner. Danny Green is fantastic in those corners. So that is one person. JJ Redick is a name I've mentioned. I don't know how much he has left. I also don't know if he's even willing to come West Coast at this point. He might just want to stay back East if he's going to continue his career, because that's where he lives. But JJ Redick is one of the elite shooters ever. So he's somebody who also is incredible wide open, just a perfect player wide open. Nick Batum is a person that almost signed with the Warriors this year. He is great from the corner pockets. The Clippers are another team that creates spacing and drive and kick. Batum has been great all year in that regard. He's someone like Bobby Portis that he signed for a cheap deal this year, and he can make a lot of money next year. It just depends on what he wants. Could he just sign for the mid-level, taxpayer mid-level with the Warriors? Yes, absolutely. But those are the question marks. Is he going to go for more money at this point? Nick Batum would be just absolutely perfect. And finally, another name I want to throw out there is George Niang. And he started with the Warriors, played C-dubs. That's where his kind of career started blossoming. He's now with the Utah Jazz, and he plays a really good role for them. And I expect them to really try to bring him back. I think the Jazz really want Niang back. He's an important piece on their team in the rotation. Not many people know about him. He also has never hit a big payday, so he's going to be looking for that. However, if there's a way that it can work out, I'm not exactly sure in what regard it would. Niang would be just great. He's a fantastic three-point shooter with open space. He's another person in corner pockets. You can put him out there. He's scrappy. He's a stretch four, let's say. So I would put him on the list. But again, he's going to be someone looking for a payday. I don't know how much he can get, but those are a couple people. So, Kendra, pretty much I'm piggybacking off of you, who brought up the spacing point, and I have my stats. So look at us. We're cahoots, I think the kids say.
In cahoots. Oh, man, that's a good word. It's funny because a lot of what the Warriors need, or the free agents that they can target, kind of, you know, aren't contained to just one need, or one stat that they need to fix, because a lot of the guys that you mentioned, I have also had on my list under different things. And this stat is less, it's not like a stat, but it's kind of a stat, and it's their clutch wins and losses, 16 and 16. That's what the Warriors went this season in clutch wins and losses, 50%. A lot of those wins and losses, particularly the losses, were, you know, very final minutes, very final seconds, a missed layup. The Warriors missed so many layups throughout the season that could have helped them win games. But I look at that stat, that record, and say, okay, well, what is something that could fill this? Because that isn't necessarily, we need a shooter. We need a lockdown defender, those types of things. But the way that I kind of just looked at it was they need veterans. A lot of the guys that you just mentioned, Nick Batum, you know, those kinds of guys, JJ Redick, are guys who can be closers, who can come up big in big moments because they have in the past. And those are also the types of things that the Warriors need. They need veterans to guide this younger team. That's a reason why they lost some of these closer games. The younger guys didn't have the experience. And they need guidance, and they need people who can remain calm, who can handle themselves in clutch situations. We've talked about Paul Millsap before. He's a guy who remains very calm, provides a veteran presence, and can come up big in those crunch time moments. And that's a big need for the Warriors.
Yeah. And there's something that to be said. Veteran leadership is needed on this team. A lot of it's in the locker room as well. We bring up people like David West of the past, or Sean Livingston, or, you know, those type of players, even Zaza Pachulia. It was just the ability to stay calm under pressure and help the young kids understand the atmosphere and the environment. What's happening right now is when you look at a clutch situation late in a game, I don't know if the Warriors have the resources through free agency to add somebody that will be good enough to be in that late game situation. If they could get a Paul Millsap, he's definitely somebody that could be in there. But if they're getting somebody and they're having to divide up the mid-level exception and everything, I just don't know if they're able to add somebody through free agency that is worth being one of the final five out there. Do you know what I mean in that regard? And so I think that's the question mark, is who can they add that can actually help, as you were saying, in that spot? I think Nick Batum would be definitely somebody that you can put in that late game situation, Paul Millsap as well. It just comes down to the roster crunch. You have Steph, Clay, Draymond, and then who are the other two? Is Wiggins still with them? If so, Wiggins is out there. Then in that case, who is that five? Are they going small? Is Draymond in there? Is Kevon Looney in there? If not, then absolutely. Maybe it is a Paul Millsap. Maybe it is a Nick Batum. Maybe it is, you know, maybe it ends up being Jordan Poole. But the point is that you just need to add somebody that has the ability to understand that situation and stay calm in the situation, and know how to be in those clutch, tough, stressful environment. And so I agree completely, Kendra, that they need to add there. And I think that's part of it. They, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, they said they need veteran free agents, right? They need people that understand those situations. And maybe part of it is just being on the bench in those situations and being the kind of the coach on the bench, being like, guys, we got this, even if they're not on the court. So I am in agreement with that one as well, Kendra Andrews. And I'm going to go a different direction here. And this one is more of a generic stat, but it goes to a bigger point. And the next stats I'm going to bring up are, there's twofold. Actually three in some regard, but I'll go to the third one when I go to the other stats. But twofold in that you can bring in free agents, but you also have to improve with who you got on the team, and you have to be able to get better in that regard. So this one is, the Warriors were second to last in the NBA in offensive rebounding. So they got 8 per game. First overall is Milwaukee with 11.7. So you're saying twofold, what can you do here? It starts with James Wiseman. And if the Warriors have James Wiseman on the team this next season, which is a good chance they will, Wiseman has to be a guy that is attacking the offensive rebounds. And we have talked about this at great lengths before, in which he needs to work on his rebounding skills and his ability to go up and attack the point that the ball is at its highest peak and grab it with two hands and come down. He's tipping the balls to himself. He's not in good position. He's not attacking that board. He's not aggressive on offensive rebounds. Late in the season, just before he got hurt, he started doing it a little better. And there was moments where you're like, oh man, this guy has the ability to do that. But he didn't show it for most of the season. That is the number one thing that James Wiseman needs to work on, is rebounding. And in that case, on offensive boards, you're that big, you're getting that much spacing around you because so much attention is being drawn to Steph Curry. You need to secure rebounds and get second chance points. As I said before, Steph Curry's most open shots that you're ever going to find are off O boards where they play scrambling. Everyone doesn't know where they are. And Steph Curry gets a three. Klay Thompson gets a three, whatever. That's where the most open 3-point shots come, are off O boards, or just be a big guy and just, you know, dunk tip, whatever. Kevon Looney is pretty much the only guy who's excellent at offensive rebounding on the team. He's really a good O boarder, but they just need to get better in that regard. So where can they go free agent wise? Well, two names that pop out are guys who are very veteran players, great offensive rebounders, but you're not going to get a ton more from them otherwise. And that's Ed Davis, who's an infamous offensive rebounder. Fantastic. Is he going to play crunch time minutes? No, he's not. But he's a guy you can get in on the minimum. If you need to put him in a second unit to get some O boards and kind of, you know, scrap down low, he is somebody in that that you can do that with. And then Taj Gibson, guy's been around forever. I mean, for him, you've watched him on the New York Knicks. You saw him a little bit in the playoffs. Tom Thibodeau loves him from Chicago days. You could see Gibson just re-signing with New York. He's a veteran, and he played great for them, crashing the boards as well. Could the Warriors steal him and bring him over and be that other guy that, you know, you can't just say he's David West, but just a guy that can come in and be that veteran that can come in and crash? Yes, absolutely. There's a possibility that it's out there. It might be hard to get him, but I think those two guys are kind of your cream of the crop when it comes to just pure offensive rebounding. But really, when it comes down to it, you need the guys on your own team already to get better at that. And that really just starts with James Wiseman.
Well, you bring up a really good point. In some of these stats, you need just to get better through your own players. There isn't going to be a guy out there to fill every need, and especially obtainable ones. And that is pretty much what, when I was trying to think of free agents for this next stat, I struggled to think of a free agent who is going to fulfill this, because in my opinion, this is one that, this isn't something that you should bring a guy in for. This is something that you should do. It has to do with being scrappy under the hoop, but that's just drawing fouls, getting to the free throw line, which the Warriors really struggled to do this season. They were 21st in free throw attempts this season, which is bottom half of the league for sure. But that isn't something that, unless maybe you're James Harden, you say, hey, that guy is going to get to the free throw line all the time. There are a couple players out there, but not in the free agent pool. So I was going to ask you, you know, when you think of guys who you just need to go out there, be aggressive, be assertive, be scrappy, what kind of players are out there who could fulfill that?
Well, I mean, you look at the stars that are available, and you look at DeMar DeRozan, who's adept at getting to the foul line, but those are the people you're not going to get. A lot of it comes down to just being aggressive towards the hoop. And James Wiseman, if he's still on the team as well, can be more aggressive towards the rim instead of fading away or taking or settling for a jump shot. And that could help. But you look at players that can attack the rim a little bit, you know, Paul Millsap is willing to scrap down low. He can draw some fouls. He's very willing to be physical. Rudy Gay's kind of turned into a person that's kind of stays on the outside a little bit. Danny Green, definitely you're not going to get fouls out of him. Patty Mills, who I'll bring up a little later. Yeah, it's a lot of guys. You know, Kelly Olynyk is a guy that can draw some fouls, but at the same time, again, I just don't know what you can get in terms of pricing with someone like him. So yeah, it's more of a mindset, I think, than anything, in the way you run players and the way they attack and the way your offense moves. But if you're looking for pure, like a scorer that's going to come out there and keep on drawing fouls, there isn't. I mean, the only person I can possibly think of, and he's an unrestricted free agent, is Lou Williams. He's somebody that can go out there and do that. Could the Warriors go after him? Sure. I think they're happy with the way they're structured with like a Jordan Poole taking those minutes in the way Lou Williams is not there defensively at all. So I don't know if they really want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's possible. He's the type of guy that pump fakes and gets people to foul a lot. So that is an option there. But yeah, I don't know if there's anyone in particular that's like, this guy is perfect for drawing fouls.
And I think it's just important to kind of remember as we go through free agency that some of the adjustments the Warriors have to make have to come from themselves. They have a good group. You know, yes, they need to add more shooters, offensive rebounders, those types of players. And some things are only going to be adjusted from themselves. And if they can't figure that out, then that's a whole other conversation for us to have one day.
Absolutely.
Hope lives here in California, but during these challenging times, we could all use a little extra support. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 emotional support resources or call our warm line at 1-833-317-4673.
We're talking about adjustments, and this is where my threefold answer came into play. I said free agents. I said players on the roster need to change. And this is the big one, coaching. The way they strategize and the way they use their offense is something else that needs to change in these statistics. Pick and rolls. The NBA has moved towards a pick and roll. If you have watched any of the playoffs right now, and if you watch the NBA in general, the pick and roll is the most utilized and most efficient play in basketball. Are the Bucks struggling a little bit with Giannis in the pick and roll right now? Sure, there's some issues right there, but still at the end of the day, that is where they need to succeed because they can also change the way they do it, but it's still starting in a pick and roll at the end of the day. Maybe you're getting the ball out of your hands quicker, but we're not talking about the Bucks here. We're talking about the Warriors. The Warriors, when you're just talking, so in a pick and roll, you have the ball handler and you have the roll man. The guy who comes up, sets the screen, he's the one who gets the ball. The Warriors had the least amount of possessions and points for the roll man in pick and rolls per game. They also had the second most turnover frequency in those possessions. They don't run it for the pick and roll man. When the pick and roll guy gets it, they don't have really knowing what they're doing with the ball. If you're like, well, what about Draymond Green? Draymond Green does get it, but he's not as much of a scoring threat after he gets the ball. Instead, he kicks it out, it swings around, and they actually get good action in that way, but they don't run it a ton. So what can they do? So we'll get to the ball handler part in a second, but the most important part is you need to be able to, as a coaching staff, utilize the pick and roll better because that is your team right now. Unless they go out and get people that really fit the mold of what they used to do, unfortunately, if you're keeping James Wiseman stuff, the coaching staff has to realize that they need to be more adaptable into the fact that that's where Wiseman succeeded was in pick and roll situations. That's where Draymond and Steph do their thing. That's where they are right now. They're just not the same team they were in the past with Andre Iguodala and all these guys where the ball swings around. So what you need to do, number one, is just strategize differently if you're going to get more pick and rolls so the ball so the rim runner or I'm sorry the roll man can get the ball and go. That's number one. Number two, James Wiseman, he has to get better. It's just Kendra, we've talked about it. James Wiseman is just, this is where he's going to have to be put in situations where he's the roll man. He's going to come up and then it could be a pick and pop situation, sure, but I'd rather see this guy get the ball at the top of the key and just look straight ahead and just attack, right? That is where he's best. He should not be settling for any mid-range hook shots, any of that stuff. Attack the hoop. You'll get more foul calls, but also you just, that's where he's best. He's 7'2", he's long, he's athletic. Use your reach, use your power. That is where the you can definitely excel. And finally, in terms of pick and roll, in terms of free agents, a guy who's done it a lot, I would have to dive into deep numbers to see, you know, per possession. He's actually, I looked at his numbers overall, but a lot of it plays off of the team he was with. Anyway, the Boston Celtics, Daniel Tice was with them. Tice then went to the Chicago Bulls. They do pick and rolls. Vucevic is the number one guy in like pick and rolls, and that's on the Bulls. So they ran it a lot over there. with the Celtics, he was doing it a little bit for Kemba and all these other guys. But Daniel Tice is somebody who knows how to do it. He's somebody that can, you know, he just does a little bit of everything. He's that center position. He's also trying to extend and be able to shoot threes. So he could be somebody that's interesting for the Warriors to just kind of change things up a little bit and be in that second unit and set picks for Jordan Poole. And then, Kendra, here's a outside the box situation. Someone who is actually very adept at scoring the ball and got some possessions this year as the role man was Patty Mills. And you're like, how is that possible? He's a point guard. Well, because Patty Mills set screens as a point guard and got the ball back in pick and roll situations where he pick and pop and he does other things. So Patty Mills is just knows how to play this game, right? He knows the different situations. He can do different things. You can put him as the ball handler in a pick and roll. You can put him as the roll man in a pick and roll. You can do these different things. And Patty Mills is somebody who's just tough. He's scrappy. I think the Warriors, he's at the top, one of the top of my wish list for the Warriors. I don't know the chances of him coming at a $6 million deal. I don't know if that's possible, but he's somebody that I would look for because is he similar to Jordan Poole? Yes. But what if you put them both together out there? There's a lot of scrambling going on. So before I go to the other stuff, Kendra, let me, while I catch my breath, I apologize for my long dialogue there. I'll go to one more after that. What are your thoughts?
No, it makes sense. The pick and roll was something that was on my honorable mentions list. So we're still in cahoots with that one. And you make a great point that James Wiseman just needs to be better. There were moments during this season that they put him in that pick and roll, and it's when he did some of his best basketball, when they just simplified it and put him in those situations. If he can make that his calling card, that's what he can just do for this team, especially just next year as he continues to develop and become the player that he will be. That's what they need. And if he can't do that, you know, then it's time to have more serious questions about his future with this team. You know, we've danced around it a little bit with would they be willing to trade him, yada, yada, yada. But if he can't become a pick and roll player, then there might be more meat to the bones of a argument to trade him away. Because as a guy with his size, the Warriors just need him to be that prototypical center. You see so many centers around the league, like Jokic, who can knock down threes, who has a mid-range game, who can, you know, he has a Sombor shuffle. He's like so many different things. The Warriors don't need James Wiseman to be that. They don't need him to be the floor spacer. They already have that with Steph. They're going to have that more with Clay. If they can get more shooters, they'll have that. They need him to be a body in the paint. They need him to set screens. And hopefully he's able to do that. But I agree with the free agents that you mentioned as well. I think Patty Mills would be an excellent addition to the team. Like, why wouldn't he be? But yes, add him to the list of guys where fit, amazing, money, we'll see.
Right. And again, a lot of it was just James Wiseman not being ready yet because he's a young guy, hadn't had a lot of experience. And it's a crash course. It's tough. Most guys take a long time to develop. Not all of them burst on the scene like a LaMelo Ball and just being able to take over. For Wiseman though, again, I'm going to push a little bit and just say coaching. They have to put him in the right position. He shouldn't be a guy that's getting the ball in the post and having to create. That's just not who he is. Maybe eventually it will be, but it ain't not right now. So coaching needs to put him in the right position because you're going to look bad if you're in a bad position for what your skill set is right now. And that's something that they need to improve on. Absolutely. And then, so just with that, when you're talking about pick and roll, the Warriors are fifth most in points per possession for the ball handler in a pick and roll situation. But they're third least in possessions per game with that. Why is this happening? Well, the ball hand, I mean, Steph Curry, ball handler, of course, his points per possession is going to go high. You put him in a pick and roll situation, the guy can launch at any point, he can do anything he wants. That's why the points high. And I think Jordan Poole is somebody that they should need to do that a little bit more for. But the third least possessions per game is the big issue. It just can't be a thing. You can't be in a position where you're so good at something and just hardly ever do it. And that's where these things need to change. Again, you add a Patty Mills, sure, that add to help Paul Millsap, you can put into pick and roll situations. You can do all these different people to make it work. But at the end of the day is you got to do it to make it work. And so you have some excellent, incredible players for this. Steph and then Jordan Poole. You have Draymond. You have Wiseman. You have all these guys. You can add pieces. Do it. It's time. Start using it. Use it more. That's my story. And I'm
do it. You're so
Nike. Just do it.
You're so encouraging.
Yeah. For all the Warriors coaches listening to this, and you're saying, you know what, this guy needs to shut up. No. Yeah.
If Grant, if you were ever a coach, that would just be your thing. You just do it. Like, my God.
Just do it. Yeah, I mean, I know, listen, at the end of the day, we simplify things a little bit, right? There's so much that more goes into it. At the end, it's just a fact. But on the same token, sometimes you just need to simplify things.
No, it's completely true. And you see throughout these playoffs, throughout the season, so many times a team will just run literally the same play five consecutive times because it keeps working. They know that it works. So why don't we do it until it doesn't work anymore? Great. That's what the Warriors can do too. If it works for you, as simple as it is, keep doing it until something prevents you from it being successful. Then move away from it for a little bit. Then try it again. If doesn't matter if it's the most simple thing in the world, as long as it helps you out, there's no shame in that. And the Warriors, I think, they haven't had to do that for the past 5-6 years. They haven't had to simplify things. Maybe that's a hard thing to wrap your mind around, because that can be the case, you know, even outside of basketball, when you're used to more complex things, it does feel weird to, might feel like you're taking steps backward. But again, as long as it leads you to where you need to be, do it.
Well, you know, part of it is, and Steph Curry's so unique, and so is Klay Thompson, that they are great off the ball. And that is where the Warriors offense is just, it can be lethal in that it's hard to game plan against a guy who's running miles and miles and miles without the ball in his hands. And they have to scramble, the picks are being set, this, that, and they're bouncing around. The Warriors need to keep that in their offense, right? You need to keep that. You can't just put the ball in Steph's hands and be like, run, pick and roll, because you're actually taking away one of his greatest, incredible things that actually has made him, he's probably the best in the history of the NBA at doing this, because he's so lethal from three and knows how to move in space and he's doing all these things. He's getting grabbed and pulled and he's still in shape to be able to hit this, hit his shots. So you have to be able to incorporate both, but you have to incorporate both. And that's kind of what it comes down to. You don't need to be the Houston Rockets where James Harden, every single play, Clint Capella would come up, set a pick and roll. They'd go right down. And then you'd have Daniel House and Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson standing out there and you kick it out to a three. You don't have to do that. But what you can do is just flip back and forth, do this, do that. And when something's working, as you said, Kendra, go to it, right? Just keep on going to it. And then all of a sudden, when they're scrambling and they're trying to do that, then you send Steph off the ball and then they have to figure that out. So, you know, you and I are not going to probably get an NBA head coaching job any point soon. And I think that's purely because some people are just really good at what they do and they're highly experienced. But I think just sometimes taking a step back and simplifying things just a little bit more can help. And that's just, again, it's not what they used to do. They had one of the best offenses in the history of the NBA because of the players they had. Steve Kerr's offense came in and just changed the game, right? It was just fantastic. He used his offensive philosophy and put it with players that were the dream for that philosophy, with Andre Iguodala and Steph Curry, and then eventually Kevin Durant, but like Draymond Green, like all this stuff just worked perfectly. You gotta potentially adapt depending on who's on the roster next season. So that's my thesis, that's my hypothesis, and that's my conclusion.
Wow. I'm just gonna let that marinate with whatever. We should just leave our listeners with that to really sink in.
That's my conclusion. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We really do want to hear your thoughts and comments. We read them on YouTube or on the, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. It's fun seeing what you all have to say. So rate, subscribe, do all those things. Thank you so much for listening. As always, this is the Dubs Talk podcast presented by Wendy's. Have a good day.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.